Blog Talk Radio.
The Boxing Mix.
Give me a good clean fight. Good luck to both of you.
The Boxing Mix. For the boxing addicts who are itching for their fix, we welcome The Boxing Fix. Every Sunday night at 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern. Join us here at The Boxing Fix.
What's going on, all you boxing addicts? Welcome to another episode of The Boxing Fix. This is your host, Josh McDaniel, coming trying to get a little better, you know, had a little crazy weekend out there in, in the desert in Vegas, and I'm here with my co-host, who's going to be, like, carrying me and helping me get through this show today, the wonderful PR superstar, Emily Pandalakis. What's going on, Em?
Nothing, just chilling, ready for the show. I'm excited. You're going to owe me a beer after this one.
Oh, no way, Jose. Drinking's bad for you. But anyways... It was crazy. We had it's kind of like the hangover of boxing after, you know, a bunch of good fights that we had, big pay-per-view, a big Showtime card last week. And now we had a bunch of small, or I wouldn't say too small, but, you know, under the radar fights that some people might have missed. And then you had this little show box cards and some great stuff over the weekend. And I'm excited. And we got a special guest later on today, William Shamar Witt. He's 2-0. Young cat that's just turned full this year from Brooklyn. So show some East Coast love today. And we should have a fun little show today. So let's get right into it. We're going to get into the little boxing glitch and go over some of this weekend's fights and recap them. So over on Thursday, out my way in 14 Gardens, Hollywood, California, Bash Boxing presented another great card that I heard. In the women's class, Holly Lawson went on and defeated Sarah Coon by split decision. That was a six-rounder. All these cards, all these fights were all little four-rounder, six-round fun fights to always watch. Terrell Williams went on and defeated Lawrence Hughes in the first round by KO. And probably where it was I guess it's an upset in a way, Zachary Woolman, he's been on a lot of these cards out in Bash Boxing. He went on and got a technical draw, it looks like, against Jesus Vallejo. So Zachary's got he's 4-0. Now he's got a one draw and he's going to be trying to bounce back off soon, and he's always on those cards. Lewis Rose, 4-0, got another victory, moves the record to 5-0 against Mike Alexander by the first round KO. Javier Albanica defeated Willie Walton by first round KO. And then Neil Arellano went on this on the second fight, won by unanimous decision against Andre Uhl. And Eric Ruiz defeated Daniel Modad by the first round TKO. Those are little fun little club shows that they have out here in Southern California. And for a lot of people, you know, here's a guy who fought over in Manchester, New Hampshire, also on Thursday, that I personally, you know, can't wait to start seeing them fight better opposition. Olympian Demetrius Andrade went on 17-0, moved his record to 18-0 against Alexis Heroes by a second-round TKO and a 10-rounder. So, did you even know Demetrius was fighting this weekend?
I did not. When you just said that, I was like, wow, he fought this weekend? I had no idea.
Yeah, so that I think a lot of people didn't know unless you were, you know, paying. It was a little Thursday card. Doesn't look, from what I know, wasn't televised. So, but he went on and did that. On Friday... on the 21st, over in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, Gabriel Rosado continued his hot streak against Charles Whitaker, won by TKO in the 10th round. Pretty good fight. Whitaker was game. He was more game than I thought he was. Gabriel came in and did his thing. You know, Gabriel's been trying to get this title shot against a big 154 name, you know. What did you think about that fight? We'll recap it a little bit more, but I want to know what you thought about it for a little bit.
I thought it was a great fight. I thought he looked good. He looked, you know, very solid as a fighter. I really And actually, you know, I was going to talk about in the recap, but he seems to be very, very much very sportsmanlike, and I really like that. You know, when you have a fighter that gives respect to his opponent after the fight, I mean, that's a big thing for me. I liked his attitude about the whole thing.
Excuse me, but exactly. And one thing about Rosado, I've been critical on him, you know, but this fight made me I enjoyed him even more now. I think he was tested. You know, he got hurt. I don't think he got hurt. He got rocked, I guess you could say. And you know, he bounced back. You know, and he did what he had to do. And I'm a fan of seeing these guys do what they have to do. So shout out to Gabriel Rosado. Hopefully, he gets his title shot, one of the big title shots pretty soon. Also on that card, the shocker, Ronald Cruz ends up losing to Antoine Smith. It was by split decision. I don't know what to take about it, to think about this fight so much, because Antoine was, he didn't make weight, so they moved it to a 10-rounder. Cruz probably, I don't know, maybe he didn't take it seriously, who knows. But one thing is that it's Ronald Cruz's first loss, and Antoine came in there and then went on and won. Also on that card in the light heavyweight division, Sergey Kovalov, he continued his unbeaten streak. Moved his record to 19-0, won by third round TKO over Lionel Thompson. Sergey, he's a guy with 17 KOs it should be now, and so he's a heavy hitter. Looking good in that division for him as a top prospect coming up. So we see more of him. Over there in at the Doubletree out here in Ontario, California, Miguel Diaz lost to Joseph Rios, and Rigoberto Flores defeated Joaquin Chavez by unanimous decision in another club event out here. And also on that card, I wanted to bring up Javier Torres, who is formerly from the LA Matadors. We talked a lot about them, you know, guys like Rasheed Warren from the Olympics and Terrell Gachet were also on the Matadors. Javier Torres, who made his pro debut earlier this year, moved his record to 3-0 against Avery Gibson by winning by a 4-round split decision. So shout out to Javier Torres. It's always good to see these young kids flourish after the Matadors do their thing. In Santa Ynez, California, at the Two Mass Casino, this was a pretty good card. It was on Showbox. Efren Esquivel lost to Jonathan Romero by unanimous decision in 12 rounds. Real quick, Emily, your take on that fight and Efren, you know, I thought Efren was going to be able to, you know, beat Johnson, but, you know, Johnson pulled it off. What did you think about that fight?
I thought that Jonathan really used his reach and his size very well. He just looked really, really good. And how do you say this? Escavius? He's like very strange fighter. We're just going to call him Efren. He's just a very strange style. Like, I couldn't get behind it. And I felt like he was going to tire out. Like, it's one thing to move when it's an appropriate time to move. He just moved so much. And I know it's, like, a strategy, but I just wasn't – he was getting hit all the time, so it wasn't really working.
Yeah, I saw Romero, he was kind of – I wouldn't say awkward, but, you know, he's tall and long, you know, and he didn't really want to – go at it with Efren. I didn't think in that part threw Efren off. But Johnson did what he did his thing, though. You know, he outboxed him. He made Efren, you know, gave Efren a lot of trouble. Efren was complaining early in the round, too, about his eye, in the first round, about his eye. So that was weird. But we'll see what happens there with Efren. I mean, I the only reason why, and we'll talk about this later on, I was surprised about it with Efren because he put on a great performance against Rico Ramos not that long ago in his first loss. And many thought that Efren maybe got screwed, or if not screwed, just it was a tough fight that he could have pulled off. So we'll see where he goes from there. And Jonathan Romero looks like someone up there. What were you going to say, Emily?
You know, he came in 2 pounds over on the weight. He lost it before the fight. Ended up at 122, but it's the first weigh in, he came in 2 pounds over as well.
Was that Efren?
Yeah.
Oh, really? See, already saving me already. See, I did not know that. But maybe that's probably a big factor, too. He did look winded at times, but he still kept on going. You know, you see him in this corner, you know, breathing heavy at times. But also on the undercard, another fun fight, couple knockdowns and everything. Roman Morales went on and defeated Jonathan Arellano, a unanimous decision in an 8-rounder. That was a fun fight. We're going to go ahead and talk about that more when we get to the recap. And so we'll see what happens there. Over at the Turning Stone Resort over in Verona, New York, Samuel Kotev defeated Federico Flores, and Nick Brinson defeated Marcus Williams for a unanimous decision. Both of those fights were went to the decision. And then in Woodland in California, Danielle Livingston lost to Paul Mendez in the 7th round by KO. Pretty controversial. He got hit with a low blow, and you know, he didn't get up. It didn't answer the count, and you know, they are protesting it. What did you think of that fight? It was a fun fight for a little bit in the beginning, but
Paul
looked like he had it.
You know how I felt about that fight. We talked about it earlier. I think Livingston was like completely outclassed from a technique standpoint. That he was gonna lose that fight by decision for sure, possibly by knockout. He was getting hit a ton. The only thing I can say about Mendez, right? He was hitting a lot in the back of the head when they tie up, but you know, I wasn't a big fan of that. But yeah, that blow that took him out was squarely a low blow. Like there was nothing else, you know, you could see there. I mean, I could see why if the ref didn't see it, you know, it could look like a body shot. But if you look at the replays, I mean, it's just squarely in the junk.
Squarely in the junk. I can't put any better than that.
I think that's a technical term for that kind of punch.
I don't even know what to say right now. That was a good one. We'll talk more about that fight. On the undercard of that, too, the co-feature, Manuel Avila defeated John Alberto Molina. Unanimous decision in the 8-rounder. Over at the, and this was a nice fight to watch just for the first 6 rounds that it lasted. In Belfast, Northern Ireland, in the UK, Carl Frampton continued BNB and defeated Steve Malter by TKO. I like that fight. I like Carl Frampton to see what he did. He went in and defeated an older former champion in Molitor. So we'll talk more about that. Also, on that card, Paul McCloskey defeated Manuel Perez by unanimous decision. And that was a nice little card, it seemed, out there. A lot of good fights. Martin Lindsay defeated Ronald Garrido by points in 8 rounds. And Khalid Yafe defeated Victor Koh by decision. In the fight that you told me that you liked, Ricky Burns, TKO, 4th round, Kevin Mitchell. Ricky Burns can move his record to 35-2. You told me you liked this fight. Tell me about it. What did you like?
Man, Burns is just, for starters, he's just a huge dude, like, for his weight. Like, he just looks really large. But he just outboxed him. I mean, it was a lot of technique. It was just a really solid performance by him. I was just very impressed. I kind of felt going into that fight it was going to be a draw. That's what I picked for fantasy boxing. You know, after looking at them both, I really couldn't come up with a solid winner there. And man, he just made him look bad. I mean, he really, really did well against Mitchell. Mitchell just really never had a chance through the whole fight.
Yeah, I noticed. I saw that too. That's what it was. He had no chance. Ricky Burns. I'm just surprised Ricky Burns won by knockout. If you you go by his record, we all know that Ricky Burns isn't the most feared power puncher in the game. You know, so I was pretty surprised.
Good.
And in Los Mochis, Mexico, Juan Carlos Sanchez defeated Rodel Mayo. That was another fun fight, a comeback fight, because I thought Rodel was putting it on Juan Carlos in the beginning. And Juan Carlos came out and knocked him out in the 9th round. That was a good fight. Also on that card, Jorge Arce, one of my favorite fighters to watch, he went on and beat Mauricio Martinez by unanimous decision out there in Los Mochis, Mexico. And that's going to wrap up the boxing list. That was a lot of fights to cover just to even talk about who won and who lost. So we're going to go in and get into the recap. So let's start off with the card, the Efren Escovitz card versus Jonathan Romero. So tell me exactly everything. What do you, how did you feel about it with everything, about Efren, about Jonathan? What do you think about Jonathan in that division too?
Jonathan looked really, really solid. I mean, he was just getting through Escobius's defense. And I don't know. I like the way he used his jab. He looked really solid. I want to see more of him in the future. He really looked good. Efren just really didn't... He looked like he was just struggling in general, like psychologically. Like it he was getting hit just a ton.
Yeah, and Efren was getting beat just tagged. He was, you know, his defense is not the best defense in the game. So, you know, just to say it like that, you know, but Romero looks good. I like him because he's long. I like his long fires. He's a Colombian? He's kind of like, I'm not going to put him in the same class as him, but don't take it wrong, but like Arizona Lari, I think they even mentioned that too. But he's definitely good. I like the undercard, though. That was my favorite fight on that card, the little eight-rounder. What did you think?
That was Ariano and Morales. Ariano lost.
Yeah.
I really liked his style, actually. Like, I'm watching that fight, and I'm liking the things that he's doing. I don't think we should count him out by any stretch. I liked his defense. I liked how he would, slip under the punches. I was sorry to see that he lost. Morales, you know, he looks good, obviously, but I liked Ariano's style. I want to see more of him.
Yeah, Ariano definitely gained some fans even with this loss, and Roman gained even fans, even more fans too because he won. I liked Ariano's little left hook that he kept on sneaking in, the one that he knocked Morales down first with he followed it up with a left hook and then another left hook right after that knocked him down. That, I thought he was going to win it right there, but let me ask you something. Did you notice, you know, this is probably something small, but I think it could affect the fighter's, you know, mental state while he's in the ring when one of the officials is talking about the knee brace?
Yeah, what's the story? Well, and I guess Morales actually hurt his knee in the fight. But, like, he was struggling to get to the last round because he hurt his knee. What was the story on that knee brace? I didn't actually hear what they were saying about it.
From what I know, it was, you know, I guess he wasn't supposed to have it on, and he did get it checked out. So, and the official didn't know. I don't know, but my whole thing is that's kind of like the worst time to tell a fighter, you know, like the official come in, hey, you know, he's in the middle of a fight, and you're like, yeah, you can't wear that now. You know, that should have been done before, you would think.
I missed that. They told him in the middle of the fight to take it off, or what?
Well, between rounds. I think it was like around the second or third round. But I'm just saying, you know, you got a fighter that's in a fight already. I don't know if that's the most appropriate time to tell someone, you know, that you can't wear a knee brace or that knee brace. And, you know, I don't know. I thought it was kind of ridiculous. Like I said, it's a small point, but I still think it could get in the fighter's head.
I did find myself thinking, why is he allowed to wear one? Because it seems that, you know, your overall physical condition obviously plays into what you're trying to do there. So if your knee is not up to par, maybe you shouldn't be fighting or whatever. That is strange that they'd ask him in the middle of the fight. It seems like they would have taken care of that before.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. But it is what it is. And, you know, they both fighters, I thought, put on a great fight. So I definitely enjoyed watching those two get it on and like to see both of them back on Showbox again. They're good fighters to watch on Showbox. But let's go to the big fight that was on Friday over there in Pennsylvania. Gabriel Rosado, defeating Charles Whitaker like we talked about. Where does Gabriel go from here now? Do you think he's ready? I mean, obviously he thinks he's ready, and I think he kind of proved that he's ready for one of the guys at 154, the top dogs. What do you think? What do you see him do?
Honestly, I was very impressed with his performance. I haven't watched his fights before now, so I don't know how he's progressed. Obviously, you know, the commentators, you know, kind of made one believe that it, you know, he had progressed quite a bit in his last several fights. Honestly, I'm not like totally sold on Canelo. I wouldn't mind seeing it. Like, I know that's what he was saying. It's a big money fight for him. I wouldn't mind seeing that just because I think they're probably on the same level. And on the whole, for this whole weekend, I meant to mention this up front, the matchmaking this weekend was really solid. Like, I felt like this was a weekend of very evenly matched fights overall. And I don't know, like, I'm guessing, you know, we'll see the fight with K9 next for him. And if he wins that, you know, I think it's definitely he could bring on Canelo. I think that would be a good fight. And that would, you know, set up a nice Puerto Rico versus Mexico card as well.
Definitely. And I think he beats K9 for sure. Him and Canelo, I think if he fights K9, would be a good, you know, to see where he's at. If he beats K9, he fights Canelo. Canelo might have problems with him. Rosado's been kind of slick. He's getting better. He just hasn't improved. Like I said, I used to not be so up on him, and then all of a sudden, you see him, he's getting on TV, a lot of exposure, and he's stepping up every time, and he's doing his thing. And that's what I like in fighters. I like seeing them, you know, step up level competition and keep on doing their thing and get better and better and better, not look like, oh, they took a fight off, or, you know, they didn't train too hard, or, you know, the pressure's not too much, you know?
That's kind of my thing. Like, that's what I'm saying. Okay, K9 would be the next step for me. You know, I think K9 would be a good next step, and then, you know, maybe Canelo if he wins. I'm not sold on Canelo, and I doubt they would make that fight, you know, if they're trying to keep him safe, honestly. And also, again, I want to just mention his sportsmanship. Like, after, you know, him putting up Whitaker's pan in the air with his, I mean, it's rare that you see that, and I appreciated it, and he cracked me up, you know, getting the camera to look back at him, and he was funny. I enjoyed watching him.
Yeah, he's very humorous. He has different hair colors sometimes, you know, so he knows how to sell himself, and that's very, you know, as we know now, especially nowadays in boxing, marketing and selling yourself is just as big as getting into the ring nowadays, you know, so that was good for him. How about Whitaker?
38 years old. You know, you could see that in his fight. You know, you could see that there was, you know, he just is, you know, they mentioned when he was walking in how he's kind of laid back. He's kind of, and that's what you saw in the fight. I think that was, you know, I don't want to see him, you know, keep like he was a warrior. He fought well. He put, you know, left in the ring. He did a good job, you know, as well as he could. And he, you know, they kept calling him brave. I don't know if that's the word I'd use, but, you know, I liked him. I liked him a lot. He seemed like, you know, generally it seemed like a good matchup for Rosado, especially.
I mean, obviously. I just like seeing guys fighting, you know, to like the 50, you know, they get all drunk or whatever, but he's definitely going to be a guy that he can test people. He's not going to beat you. He's not going to pull off an upset, but he's a solid opponent. That's exactly where he's at, I think.
He's at the age where he doesn't need to do that. He can just, you know, finish it out there. You know, honestly, put on a good performance. He stayed in times that I thought he wasn't going to. So, I, you know, no complaints there about him.
Now, what did you think about the Ronald Cruz upset, the big upset on that card?
Ronald Cruz, I believe, won that fight. I honestly did not believe that it was – what's the guy's name? Smith, is that who he fought? Yeah, Smith.
Excellent.
I mean, it was a good matchup, even fight, good step up for Cruz, but I really thought that Cruz was a busier fighter, more accurate puncher. I really thought that he won that fight. Maybe not, you know, it's very even, not by a lot, but I was surprised at that decision, and I think he was too.
Yeah, and I'm having a little technical difficulties on this. Are you there, Emily?
Yeah, I'm here. You haven't heard me?
All right. No, I heard you. It was going in and out. But, Cruz did, you know, he did more work and stuff. But Smith didn't make way. It went from a 12-round to a 10-round. Do you think that had any effect on Cruz at all? I know he wasn't the one that didn't make way, but maybe, like, you know, mentally-wise?
No, I mean, you know, possibly. The guy came in 3 pounds over, right? Is what I read somewhere, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that it had any impact. I thought, you know, I thought Chris put in a good fight. I want to see him again. You know, that's the division, that he said, 47, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I want to see him again. I really felt like Cruz won that fight. And, you know, it was close, so.
Yeah, it was close. Now, Cruz, he was a top prospect at 17-0 now with one loss. Does this put a big setback for him? Do you think he gets a few more shots on show blocks, or what do you think about that? On TV?
I wouldn't mind seeing him in a TV fight again. Otherwise, he's going to kind of go into obscurity. It's really difficult right now in boxing. One loss, and you do take such a huge step back. But I would like to see him again. You know, he needs to adjust better in the ring. He needs to work a little harder, and, you know, we'll see if he's able to do that. I know he'll get on TV right away. He'll probably have a fight or two in between that he better win. So, you know, if you take a step up to an even, you know, opponent, you lose, even if it is, you know, that's not a controversial loss. You know, that was just my opinion. You know, the opponent is going to get another shot right away.
Definitely. And now a guy that a lot of people, I think, are likes to watch, and I know you do, Sergey Kovalev, excuse the way I pronounce the name. Talk about he destroyed Lionel Thompson. What did you?
Yeah.
How what was your take on that?
He fought on the outside. He cut off the ring so well during that fight. I love the way he used the ring. You know, just broke him down. I mean, that was a very quick and easy fight. I'm guessing we'll see him again soon too.
Yeah, I definitely, and I kind of wish that, I kind of wish that we got to see the original fight. He was supposed to fight Gabriel Campillo. Campillo, who we know, gets screwed along in decisions and is a very tough fighter. That would have been a definitely good fight, but Campillo had to pull out with a back injury. I think they should still try to make that fight again. I hope they do. I'm sure they will. I think it's a good fight. But I really would like to see those two go. That'd be a good test too, for Sergey.
Yeah,
that was probably
the fight of the weekend. That was probably the you know, least evenly matched fight. Like, he just really outclassed him. You know, finished it off so fast. I was surprised.
That's probably, as like I said, a lot to do, because it was kind of almost like a last minute replacement. You know, it was supposed to be Gabriel Campillo. But we'll go on and move over to the Wimbledon card, where we talked about Danielle Livingston getting outboxed and then getting KO'd by a low blow. Or what were you saying earlier? You know, against Paul Mendes. I don't know. What do you think about Paul Mendes, first of all?
Technically, he looks very sound. He's a big guy. You know, he doesn't move a lot, but. You know, he did the side-to-side movement that Livingston did not do. Livingston just goes forward and backwards, and that is it. That is his range. So, I don't know. I thought Mendes looked very good. I actually liked watching him. He could probably pick up on the movement a little bit more, but the guy. So, I'm definitely wanting to see Mendes again. Livingston, not so much.
Yeah, definitely about with Mendes. Mendes did look nice. So it looked pretty tough. One thing with Danielle is I know he just started training with over in Riverside, you know, with him and Ramirez. And I thought in the beginning he started looking good. He was sparring with Cito Lopez for Canelo's fight and got the chance to go up to up north fight Mendes. I definitely agree with you. I thought he lost no matter what. He was going to lose unless he pulled off some kind of comeback KO. But I didn't really see that happening. But you know, it was a low blow. It is what it is. I want to see Mendes more. Best of luck to Danielle. I want to see how he does. He needs to start getting more fights and fighting more frequently. I think that would help him out, because you can fight too far in between fights, you know, and that's, you know, we all know that staying active is the best thing for you, instead of just sitting around or passing around but not being in the ring.
That was like a horrible stoppage. I mean, you know, I don't think, obviously the ref didn't see, but once you watch the camera angles, you're like, holy cow, this guy got totally screwed. And I felt bad for him, because I mean, he just went down. That was just pure pain from that blow. That wasn't had nothing to do with, you know, him being broken down by punches or anything else. That was just a, like I said, directly to the jaw.
Yeah, that's a painful shot. I was in pain watching it. Actually, I was watching that fight too. Thank God for Wi-Fi hotspots on phones and stuff, because I was shooting the internet on my laptop on my way back from Las Vegas watching that fight. And I kind of curled up in the ball when I saw him get hit with a shot directly in the junk.
Real quick, shout out to Ryan Bivens, sweetboxingvideos.wordpress.com. Like, if it's not for him, I would never be prepared for this show. So, you know, I'm like his fan club.
Excuse me. I'm still trying. Like I said, I'm dying over here. I'm toughing this out. Definitely, though, Ryan saved me for this one, for this weekend, too. Just like I said, I was shooting. I'm in the back seat on my way back from Vegas, coming back to L.A., and I got my phone shooting the internet to my laptop and watching the fights in the back while everyone else is either half asleep or driving, and someone was driving. I wasn't driving and watching the fights. I know you get worried when I text and drive. But, speaking of shout-outs and everything, real quick, anyone want to call in, talk boxing, go ahead and call in at 347-215-7598. Come and chop it up with us. And then also, don't forget, we got a bunch of other shows that Leaving the Ring producing. We got Monday's No Shake the Box Sale, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern, and Thursday's the main show, Leaving in the Ring Radio, with your host, Dave Runners in the Dirt Club, Gabriel Montoya. You go check that out, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern, 3 hours of boxing talk. And then, like I always say, Emily, if you're a boxing addict, any kind of boxing fan, you need to go out and get your Undisputed Fight magazine. UndisputedFightMag.com. Have to get it. It's a great magazine, a bunch of great articles and great pictures, everything. If you can't read, you got pictures, you know? Hey. So go ahead and check that out. And like I said, if anyone want to call in, the talk box at 347-215-7598. Man, that was hard on my throat. Anyways, let's go. What's next? We got Carl Frampton and Steve Molitor. Steve, older guy, you know, and we got Carl who's a young guy who's on the upside. What do you think about him in that fight?
Well, Molitor was like a replacement, and everybody kept talking about how he was going to be the one just, you know, to really test Frampton. And I got the impression that Molitor had just not planned on showing up to that fight. He seemed very sluggish, very just kind of not interested. You know, he stayed in it. He kept punching, but he, you know, I had read an article right before. At first, you know, the first article I read was, because I was getting ready for fantasy boxing, the first article I read, he talked about how he wanted to make his breakthrough back into the European, you know, show that he's a world-class fighter again. You know, every time the last few times he gone to the UK, he won. Frampton wanted to show that he wasn't just a European fighter. He could fight on a world stage. And, you know, I really struggled with that fight, who to pick. I was really struggling. And, in the end, my gut told me Molitor. I ended up going Frampton just because of something that Molitor had said in one of his interviews, that if he lost to Frampton, he was going to retire. And I thought, why are you already looking past? You know, it's the same thing as looking past to another opponent. He's looking past this with the assumption, you know, or with the thought that he might lose and what he's going to do when that happens. And I can't really get behind that. So I ended up going with Frampton. I'm happy. You know, he put on a great performance, solid fighter. You know, I'm interested to see more from him.
Excuse me. I don't think it's very good to go into a fight already thinking about retirement. That's usually a bad sign in any case. I mean, Frampton dropped Molitor in the third, the fourth, and even the sixth round before the bout was stopped. Frampton looks good. He's young, 15-0. Where does he go from here now? Does he start fighting, you know, elite level people yet, or what?
No, I don't think so. You know, just another step beyond Molitor. Somebody, you know, younger. Molitor was, I think, he's 33, in that age range somewhere. Just somebody, you know, just the next step in line. I'm not sure if that's probably another European fighter. I don't know if he's ready to come here and fight or what. You know, he's a lot of people have been high on him for a long time.
Yeah, definitely. And he's got a nice little following out there, too. But, I mean, he's got power, or, you know, he can finish a fight. You see, if you look at his record, 15-0, 10 knockouts. So he definitely punished Steve. Steve needs to retire since he's already thinking about it. He needs to go and drink some pina coladas somewhere. We'll go on to the undercard right there. Paul McCloskey, real quick. We'll touch on that real quick. What do you think about that fight with Paul? You know, Paul came back and he won easily. It was a one-sided fight for him. What do you think about – do you like Paul McCloskey? I think he's a pretty entertaining fighter.
No, I don't. I think he's – I don't like watching him. I think that he's mismatched on the regular. I'm not that impressed by him, and I wasn't, you know, okay, he won. He was expected to win. I don't like his style. He kind of is weird looking. not that big on him. I guess he's weird looking.
So you're telling me when they announced that he won the fight, the scores, when they went on and said, you know, 118-110, 118-111, 118-112, you didn't, like, jump up for joy?
No, I mean, I totally did. Yeah, I definitely did that.
Okay, I think the sarcasm in your voice. Interesting. So now I know that you don't like McCloskey because he bores you and he's not good.
He's not being well matched right now. I want to see him test it a little bit. And he's been fighting a while now. It's time for him to start getting some better opponents. And I hate when people say that, actually. And I just said it.
So now you're going against what you believe in.
Yes.
That's not good. Let's go on and talk about your. Let's talk about the fact that you're all happy about. I think you even texted me over the weekend, and I was like, "What are you talking about, Ricky Burns? What?" So let's talk about Ricky Burns and Kevin Mitchell. Tell me what everything about that fight you thought about.
That fight, it was just an impressive outing by Burns. I didn't expect it. I think that, you know, I think the media was pretty split on who they thought was going to win. You know, if you looked at their records and their styles, you know, Burns, you know, there's one that's more of like the long, you know, long haul fighter, one that's a little more fancy. I couldn't see anybody being knocked out. I couldn't see, you know, it being just as completely one-sided as it was. And it turned out just a really entertaining fight.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I wouldn't expect a lot of people to even guess that he would win by knockout, let alone, or TKO, let alone in that fashion that early, you know.
Who did you pick in the
round? No one expects that. I took Ricky by decision because I know exactly what I'm doing, you know. I took Ricky by decision. Like I said, every time he fights, I don't expect him to knock out anybody. That's not something that you go and think that Ricky Burns is going to go and do that. I could have seen Kevin Mitchell pulling the knockout because, you know, we're talking about Kevin Mitchell, but not Ricky. Do you think that was the fight of the weekend so far or what? Or not so far, because the weekend's over, but the fight of the weekend?
I enjoyed the Sanchez-Mayol fight a little bit more. I mean, I was excited about that. I think the excitement with that fight came because it just was so unexpected. You know, in terms of, you know, being like an all-out war, it really was. You know, it was kind of one-sided. So, fight of the weekend, no, you know, upset of the weekend or like, you know, just maybe not even upset, but just unexpected outcome of the weekend.
You were shocked. You're shocked by the outcome.
Yeah, and, you know, I always watch the fights after the fact. I'm busy during the day, and I kind of have to wait till my kids are asleep to watch them. But, you know, I'm watching Twitter as this fight's going on, and people were just floored at, you know, the knockdowns and then, you know, him winning by knockout. People were just really surprised. And honestly, I really thought that the Sanchez-Mayol fight, which I know we're going to talk about a little later, was a better overall fight.
Definitely. Now, how about, what does Ricky do from here as you know, being the WBO lightweight champion, what kind of fights do you see him getting now, or against who?
Doesn't he seem so huge for a lightweight? I'm trying to imagine him fighting Ray or Broner or somebody, you know, and I'm like, God, he looks so enormous. He looks massive, you know. I don't know. I mean, you'd have to match him up really carefully, maybe with a... I mean, maybe Broner. I mean, that might not be a bad... I want to see him fight somebody, you know, that was a big... they were calling that the Chavez Martinez of the UK, so that was kind of the, you know, what they were saying there. But I don't know. The lightweight division is so stacked. You know, somebody talks about Mauricio Hesta. I wouldn't mind seeing that. But they're saying, you know, they said that he wouldn't come, you know, he wouldn't come here to fight. You'd have to go there. So.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You bring up Hesta, and every time someone brings up Hesta, all I think about is, man, how many times am I going to hear the comparison of him and Manny Pacquiao? It's like the worst thing. I get so tired of hearing that all the time. You know, Hesta's the next Manny Pacquiao. I'm like, the next Manny Pacquiao? Uh-huh. Manny Pacquiao hasn't gone anywhere. How can he be next? You know, it's like, I definitely like Ricky. You know, what happened?
No, I mean, Hesta's good. I don't know that he's Pacquiao quality yet. Obviously, that still remains to be seen. You know, he's got the swagger, I guess, if you will. He's, you know, got the attitude. He's got he has some good tools. And I think we'll see him becoming more polished. And, you know, like I said, I wouldn't mind seeing him against Burns. That wouldn't be a bad fight.
Definitely. And Burns, and then bringing up Broner, I mean, I think anyone would love to step in the ring against Broner and try to, you know, prove or shut him up or however, if you like him or not, you know, but we all know how I've been feeling about Broner as of late, ever since his last, you know, stint that he did. So I would like to see Burns in there and beat up on Broner if he could. So I'm just so tired of that guy right now. I really am. I think I'm going to unfollow him on Twitter.
I unfollowed him on Twitter. I couldn't deal with his tweet.
You didn't like it? You don't? Do you follow The Brush, though?
What's that?
Do you follow The Brush? You know, he has The Brush account.
Oh, I know. I don't. I don't know. I remember I did one time follow that, but I unfollowed a lot of stuff recently because I realized every time I walk away from Twitter, I miss like everything. So there are actually a few people I'm interested in hearing from. So.
Nice.
Yeah, no, Broner on Twitter is fine. He's over the top. He puts way too much personal stuff out there. I think that, but that's true for everybody on Twitter. I think Twitter makes people narcissists. That's my assessment of Twitter. Professional.
I love Twitter, but I was off this whole weekend pretty much. But anyways, enough of that. Let's go on to where we talked about it a little bit earlier, and you said that was probably, this was probably the fight of the weekend. Juan Carlos Sanchez versus Rodel Mayo. Comfortable line with victory for Sanchez. I think that was a hell of a fight. I liked it. I enjoyed it. How about you?
You want to compare somebody to Pacquiao. I think that Mayo is a lot closer in his style. The way he fights, I mean, he got knocked out in that fight. I mean, knocked clear out of the ring during that fight. But his style, the way that he moves, his body type, I mean, I really think that he resembles Pacquiao in a lot of ways. And, you know, he has a ways to go, obviously, but that loss was not, that was an interesting loss because he was dominating that fight through the whole thing. And Sanchez had, I think he'd gotten knocked down pretty early. Yeah, he got knocked out twice, actually,
before
that happened. And, you know, the first time was rough. And, you know, like a true Mexican warrior, you know, type fighter, he got up and he came back and won it. I really felt like Sanchez didn't use his size the way that he could have. He had a much longer reach. He was a taller, bigger fighter. And he just really didn't, he didn't fight on the outside. Like, I was surprised at how little he used that. You know, I know that you get irritated, but I'm going to use Benavidez. He's 6 foot in that division. He's tall. You know, and he uses that reach and he uses that distance. And I didn't see this guy doing that. And he had the distance. He had the reach. And he chose not to use it. Didn't use the jab very much. I really thought that Mayo put on a better performance overall until he got knocked out, which is, I guess, what matters.
Definitely. That talk about a come from behind, you know, like I don't think anyone could think that Sanchez was going to pull this off. I mean, he was down. He had no chance, it looked like, and then all of a sudden, like you said, the Mexican Warrior came out and he knocked out Mayo. He debo'd him from Friday. I don't know if you've seen Friday, but he knocked him straight through the ropes. That was crazy. I was like, and that was the fight that I think you had texted me. You thought he wasn't hurt at first until you actually saw him, huh?
Yeah, you know, we talked on the phone and I said, okay, is falling out of the ring like automatic KO or what? Because I thought they called it really fast. But then when I actually watched the replay in slow motion, you called right as it was ending on my phone. So I couldn't, you know, I didn't watch the ending at that point. When I watched it again, he was hurt. Like pretty significantly. So I don't know, man. I wasn't that impressed with Sanchez, but he just got the right shot at the right time. And he took a lot of punishment from Mayol, and I got to hand it to him.
And so that shows, too, you know, you can't ever count anybody out, no matter what. I mean, if that was the case, you know, half these guys don't have a chance. Sanchez, just like we already said, he pulled off the comeback right there. So what does this loss, though, do for Rodell?
You know, we have this, as a sport, this, you know, infatuation with Filipino fighters because of Pacquiao. I see him getting another opportunity, and he put on a good performance, you know, up until that point. I'm sure he's going to get another good opportunity. I mean, and you know what was interesting about that fight, a little backstory, was the contract was not finalized until, like, a few hours before the fight or the day right before, and, like, the IBF didn't have in hand the contract until, like, right before the fight. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I know. I didn't hear about that. It must be because they're, you know, in Mexico, they're getting all crazy out there probably still from Canelo and everything. But
yeah, and they saw that performance in Mexico. I mean, it was a, you know, obviously the Mexicans have no, there's no love lost there on the Filipino fighters because of a certain trilogy that is going to turn into four fights. And
I can't wait for the second fight, personally.
I thought I was impressed by Mayo. And again, I thought he looked like Pacquiao. He reminded me of Pacquiao in his style. I'm sure we'll see him again.
You know, you brought something up, and you know, I know you can't probably really call it a rivalry, but because, you know, it doesn't have the tradition like the Mexico versus Puerto Rico, but you think Mexico versus Filipinos becoming a pretty popular type of rivalry because of Pacquiao and him fighting a bunch of Mexicans like Marquez, Morales, Barrera?
I'm sure to some degree. I mean, certainly if you were in the arena for Marquez Pacquiao or any of those fights, I'm sure that you can see that there's definitely, like when I went to the weigh-ins for Pacquiao and Marquez, standing outside the weigh-ins were just these two factions of people just screaming at each other for like 8 hours waiting for the weigh-ins to happen. I don't know, like, definitely, and I don't know if you noticed the trainer's jackets. I don't know who was in the corner. The stream I got was kind of dark, but they all had the Manny Pacquiao logo on them as well, so.
Yeah, definitely. And the only reason I brought that up is, you know, it seems like it became pretty popular, but it's just because of Pacquiao. But do you think, like, yo, let's go, let's say, with Mayo, with Pesta, with Donaire, and Donaire's starting to, you know, fight, you know, he's not just fighting Mexicans, he's fighting a lot of different people, but do you think it's the Filipinos that are up in the game, continue doing what they're doing, and fighting Mexicans? That would be
We might.
Do you think it has the potential to do that?
No, I don't think so because I don't think that the Puerto Rican Mexican rivalry is rooted just in boxing. I think, you know, soccer and everything else, there's definitely, like, in general, you know, in boxing especially, though, boxing has a long history, kind of recent history for Filipinos and Mexicans. So I guess we'll have to see. You know, I don't see those fighters that you mentioned igniting the same type of passion that Pacquiao does, for example, just for the sake of them being Filipino.
You can't see Donaire drawing that kind of attention and attraction to people, you know, to the audience?
Not at the level of Pacquiao. I mean, definitely he gets attention. Obviously he draws a crowd and the Filipinos support him, but I don't see a lot of people getting to the level of Pacquiao in terms of, and I think the Pacquiao Marquez trilogy really ignited a lot of that with, you know, the robberies or, you know, that's, you know, a matter of opinion, but you know, it kind of, there hasn't been that type of controversy. Maybe there was, I guess, the Maras or Donaire fought somebody and there was some controversy, but not like it wasn't on the scorecards.
So I'm taking it that you're excited to see them fight for the fourth time since we're on that topic right now?
I actually am excited. You know, like, I hate to be excited. I want to say, no, I've already seen enough. You know what? Fourth fight, I didn't need to see it with Vasquez Marquez. That was one where I was like, I don't need to see these guys beat each other's brains in anymore. The trilogy made me a fan of boxing. And then once I didn't need to see the fourth one. But this one, yeah, I would like to see Marquez get vindication. I think he deserves that before he ends his career. And they're at the age where they're both kind of getting to that point. And, you know, I'm definitely not opposed to it. I definitely would like to see Marquez get what he deserves. And I don't know. And it obviously will be a moneymaker for the sport. Everybody's going to watch it.
Yeah. I just, you know, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I wanted to, you know, I was laughing my ass off when I saw this picture. Did you see they did a Pacquiao Marquez, I think, like, poster for, like, their 14th fight, you know, or whatever, and them as old people, like an old Pacquiao versus an old Marquez and gray hair. Did you see that?
Fight until we die or something. Yeah, I saw that.
That was classic, and that's where I feel like we're gonna end up seeing a lot now. They might fight 7-8 times. They might fight 2016, but who knows?
They're the best of what boxing has to offer. I mean, close to the end of their careers, you know, you can't sit here and compare Chavez or Canelo or any of those people to Marquez. You can't compare Donaire or Hesta to Pacquiao. They are really truly the best of the sport. And if they want to fight again, I'd rather see that fight than some garbage, you know, mismatch on weight, frankly.
Definitely, definitely. Now, let's go on the same card. This is one of my favorite Mexican fighters. I enjoy watching him all the time. Jorge Arce. He went on and won a, you know, 10-round unanimous decision. What do you feel about him? I'm a big Arce fan.
I didn't watch that fight, I'll be straight with you, but I know that he was mentioned, Jim Lampley's Fight Game mentioned him as one of the top 10 fighters that people like to watch. He's an exciting fighter that people like to watch, and I was looking at his record after that, and he's got, you know, 70-something fights. Like, he's got a lot of fights under his belt. So, I mean, obviously, if he wants to continue fighting, that's great. You know, I know that he's an entertaining fighter.
Yeah, he's fun. He's always fun to watch. He got heavily criticized on his last fight that was on the undercard of might have been the Pacquiao Bradley. I think it was Pacquiao Bradley. I could be wrong. If anyone out there, they can correct me. But definitely, I'm a fan of his. This guy goes all out. He's trouble. He's a troublemaker. His nickname's Treviso. I mean, that guy's, you know. I like him. He's fun, man. I have a memory of him fighting someone and coming in on, you know, with his cowboy hat and the lollipop and everything. I always thought that was hilarious. Like, come on, you're a fighter and you're coming in with a lollipop, you know?
You know who else did that? That Omar Chavez fought twice. That he passed away, as a result of his last fight with Chavez. But he came in like that, and I thought that was kind of cool, actually, at the time.
Now, where does he go from here? What do you want to see with Arce?
You know, he's just going to keep ending up on, you know, he'll probably end up on if he's a top-ranked fighter, right?
Yeah.
He'll probably end up on the Marquez Pacquiao undercard, and that's where people want to see him. He's a little guy, you know. I don't know who they'd match him with, to be honest with you. Like I said, he has so much experience. He's just, you know, a fan favorite, if you will.
Yeah, he just wants to fight. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. He's a fan-friendly style. He wants to hit you. If he gets hit, he's going to hit you right back and harder. You know, he can fight kind of dirty, if you will, if you want to use that, you know, head down, kind of, you know, roughhouse you. And he's, even though for a little guy, he fights, he has like a heart of a pit bull, you know, of a lion. You know, it sounds cliche. I mean, he goes hard. Like, this guy goes hard in every aspect in the ring, you know. So I definitely like to see him all the time. I never get tired of watching Arce.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of fans feel the same way.
Yes, exactly. Now, real quick, which out of on the you made me lose my train of thought. I forgot what I was gonna say. Anyway, call number 347-215-7598. Don't forget Monday's No Chance of the Boss sale on brought to you by Living in the Ring Radio, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. Thursday, Living in the Ring with the host Dave Dornis and Gabriel Montoya. And then you got the UFM Undisputed Fight Magazine. Go ahead and check that out now. We're waiting for Shamar to call in. So hopefully he calls in soon. We can get that interview going on. So let me see. I'm trying to get everything situated here. All right. So far, the whole weekend, your favorite fight was the male fight, right?
Yeah, it was. I liked that fight a lot. In terms of, like, the fight that I wanted, you know, like the biggest, you know, your friend Livingston's fight, you know, worst fight of the weekend, you know, just because of what happened to him and, you know, the knockout. And, yeah, but as on the whole, like I said, I felt like this weekend's fights were just really well matched. It was an exciting weekend of boxing, not from a, you know, huge name standpoint, you know, like, you know, not a Martinez Chavez level type of thing, but it was a fun weekend, and I don't know, it was a good weekend to watch boxing.
Yeah, you know, that's what I was saying. I said in the beginning of the show, last week was like the Super Bowl, right? You know, you had the huge, the big fight, you know, the excitement, and it followed up with, like, not the Super Bowl, but it was still good enough fights to watch, and they were entertaining, and, you know, they had that. I think that was pretty good. I think that's what's good for boxing is when they do that. You know, when you got the big old event, and then right after the next week, they don't let you down, they got something else, you know?
Yeah, there was another card that was actually canceled out in California that was supposed to be a televised card, as I understood it. There was a fighter from Arizona going to fight out there, and that didn't end up happening because of ticket sales, I guess. They waited and everything, and then it just never happened.
Yeah, then who was that? Who was that supposed to fight?
Arturo Barbila from Arizona. I'm not sure who he was going to actually end up fighting, but he was going to be the main event coming in as the opponent, I'm sure. And then the fight got called off after the weigh-in.
Definitely. Now, I'm just trying to get a hold of Shamar and see what's going on here. It should be calling in pretty soon.
Did you watch the fight game with Jim Lampley?
No, I have not. I didn't get to catch that. Why don't you talk about it and let me know what I'm going to watch later on?
You know, I've never watched it. I heard a lot of good things about it. Everybody likes it, and I can see why. I love the way he talks. I love the things he says. You know, I think, you know, obviously he knows a lot about the sport, and he has good access, obviously, but I enjoyed the show a lot. They did a little recap of Chavez Martinez, and they showed the 12th round, and I found myself getting just as excited as I did the first time. And one thing he said was, and notice how long the round lasts for Martinez after he gets hurt. They talked a lot about how Martinez, you know, one of the questions was, why is Martinez punching this last round out after he went down? And I guess because of his knee injury, his lateral movement was restricted. His movement in general was restricted. So he had, he just was struggling, you know, with that. And he couldn't move around. He could have hugged on him, but what Roy Jones, I think it was Roy Jones, came on and said was, you know, for a guy as big as Chavez, you know, that's going to be harder on him than, you know, it's going to be more energy than just punching it out. And it just made me have so much more respect for Martinez after hearing that, just that what he had to struggle with to make it through that last round. I mean, you could see that the heart, you know, as he struggled after the fact, but to understand why he sat there and punched it out, that cleared things up quite a bit.
You know, I have to say it since you brought it up. Chavez, I gained some more respect. He fought through something even tougher. He fought through the munchies. We all heard what happened. You know, I didn't want to really bring it up too much, but, you know, Chavez sold the drug test for smoking, and we saw why for 11 rounds he couldn't throw punches. He was just, he was baked. He was baked inside the ring, and he got baked by Martinez. And yeah, you know that you're right about Martinez though, since you brought it up, the him fighting through injury and stuff. I didn't even, you know, could you tell or could you notice that he was injured at all? Did you make it? Can you notice him watching it?
I'm sorry. Can you say that question again?
Did you notice watching the fight that Chavez was hurt?
Oh, that Martinez was hurt. Did he hurt his knee?
I mean, Martinez. I'm sorry. When Martinez was hurt?
No, I didn't. And even when they showed it, you know, they showed it in the 12th round without commentaries from the handheld camera. Even when they showed that, I couldn't tell. Like, you really just couldn't tell that he was hurt. But I guess, you know, obviously he was at that point. He hurt his knee. You could see, like, how it might have happened. Roy Jones was kind of doing the play-by-play, and he's like, yeah, this is where he got hurt when he went down. And you could see, you know, he's wincing to get up and everything. So, but I couldn't really tell, you know, how it affected him.
What do you think about the whole, you know, the crap with Chavez, you know, having bud brownies and smoking at all hours of the day, but training only at night?
Well, I don't, you know, Steve Kim actually came on the show and mentioned, you know, his habits, that he's eating cereal at night, that he seemed lazy. You know, if he's the amount of, he tested positive for weed. Does that mean he was smoking it through the whole training camp? No. You know, he might have smoked it a month before. It does, you know, as I understand it, not from personal experience, of course, stay in your system for 30 days or so. And who knows when he was actually smoking? Who knows how it affected his camp? Only he does. And, you know, somebody came out and said maybe it was in the tea. I don't like that crap. Just own up to it, you know. He issued a statement, and it was very well written by a lawyer, a publicist. Definitely not, you know, just definitely not written by him, I don't think. I mean, just doesn't sound like a normal person would talk. But, you know, that, it is what it is. You know, I think the funniest thing to come out of that was Bob Arum saying, there isn't a boxing promoter that could pass a marijuana test, including myself. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, you know, that's funny that you brought that up, and I almost forgot about it. That was one of the funniest statements I heard all week, you know, about this whole situation. Yeah, what do you take from that? I mean, is that a good thing for Bob Arum to say that? I mean, I know he's defending the fighter and all, but do you think that's smart?
Say that again? Oh, on his part?
Do you think that's smart? Even I know he's defending his fighter, but do you think it's smart to say that?
Yeah. You know what? It marginalized what Chavez had done. Was Chavez respecting the sport? No. Did he respect the sport when he got a DUI a week or two before his fight? No. You know, but if Bob Arum can laugh it off and say, you know what, this is, everybody does it, then, you know, I mean, it becomes a lot more acceptable. Like, I think he was smart in doing that because he made it more about him instead of about Chavez. So what are people talking about Arum smoking pot? So.
Yeah, I think it's hilarious. I can't. You know, maybe, you know, the whole Cold War, the whole, you know, Golden Boy Top Rank thing, maybe they got to do kind of like the Obama did with the summit, you know, the beer summit, you know, but I don't know if that would be a good thing for Oscar to go out and, you know, hit the pipe.
Yeah, it's not like Golden Boy hasn't had their issues as well, so I don't know. I'm interested, do we know yet if okay, I understand from the Dan Raphael article that came out about this, that the weed or the post-fight drug test is what tests for drugs, or the post-fight urine test. The pre-fight urine test is what tests for steroids and other substances like that. Are there any results on that? Have you heard anything about that?
No, I did not hear anything this weekend. I was actually, I was really good at staying away from my phone all weekend, and you know, so I haven't heard anything about it yet.
Well, and I wanted to – oh, there's two things that I wanted – oh, I guess that's in Rants and Raves. I'll rave about them later.
Yeah, no. Now, what I was going to ask you is what's been going on in Arizona? What's Arizona got going on lately? Because I know you guys have – you guys throw a lot of cards out there, a lot of prospects. We already know, you know, a few of your fighters we've had on the show, like Benavidez. You know, what's going on out there in Arizona? How, besides the heat?
what's exciting in Arizona right now? Benavidez is actually going to be fighting on the 10-13 Donair Nikiosha card. He'll be the fight just before you know, HBO starts. So we're really excited about that. It should be an 8-round fight. We have an opponent, but we're not positive on it, so I'm not going to mention any names. But he's getting ready for that. He's really focused on it. His little brother, David, who is 15, he's senior's talking about taking him pro in the next year in Mexico. So that's really exciting news. It's really hard for us to get fights for him, you know, because he's so big. He's 15, and, you know, in the amateurs, it's this age and size, and he's 175 pounds, 6'2". And then people hear about him, and they don't want to fight him. So that's kind of what we have going on there. October 6th, here in Phoenix, Iron Boy Promotions is throwing a card at Celebrity Theater. Iron Boy is a great promoter. I actually worked with them. I did publicity for them for their last card. I'm not working on this one, you know, officially. But they, you know, they do focus a lot on quality of their show. The Celebrity is a great place to see a fight. It's got the stage right in the middle. And you know, you can see that there's no bad seat in the house. And the prices of the tickets are really cheap. I want to say ringside are like, I want to say they're $60 for ringside. I could be wrong on that. Yeah, but it's just, it should be a good card, mostly four-rounders. There's a couple kids on the card, Tomas Valdez. He's out of Tucson fighting. He trains out of Las Vegas in the Mayweather gym with Bob Ware and Roger. And he's a really exciting fighter to watch. Very well spoken, nice kid. And Carlos Castro is another one who is on that card. They're kind of showcasing their fighters. Chris Lopez, these are fighters that we've seen in Arizona before, but they're exciting to watch. So if you're in the Phoenix area on October 6th, definitely want to check that out at Celebrity Theater. Going to be a good night of boxing. Emilio Garcia, also on the card. He's an undefeated fighter, and so he's kind of making his Phoenix comeback because we haven't seen him in a while.
Nice, nice. So, and out there, you guys, Arizona, they always throw on a lot of these kind of cards, don't they?
They usually do. There was a time where it was like once a month. Iron Boy's trying to throw a show every 2 months, face-to-face. You know, they're focusing more on Tucson now, I think. Showdown Promotions is another promoter here, fan base. So we have probably four promoters, but right now there's just not a lot going on for the wintertime. I know that Iron Boy has this show, and then they've got another one scheduled tentatively in December. So they're kind of holding the flag for Phoenix right now. And you know, they put on good shows. So definitely worth checking out if you're in the area. I really like one of their shows as a fan.
Nice. Now, you know, you're talking about Little Benavidez, the brother, the young one. How big is he compared to everyone now, being that he's only 15? You say it's hard to get fights.
He's huge. He's 6'2", 175 pounds. He used to be really chunky. I want to say like in the 230 range or something, and he's lost all that weight. He's a solid fighter. You know, and Senior will tell you he might be better than Junior. He does well with his range. He works a jab like no other, you know, and he... You know, he's been sparring some, like, top talent. He sparred Triple G. They love him. They love sparring with him. And apparently, like, people turned down sparring with Triple G because he hits so hard. But, you know, Jose didn't know that, Jose Sr., and had him, had him spar Triple G, and he really enjoyed the sparring. He sparred with Kid Chocolate, Latif Coyote. These are big punchers. I mean, these are not easy guys. And he's a kid. You know, at first they kind of, Jade Leon Love, who we had on the show a few weeks ago, he does, you know, they think they're going to try to go easy on him. And then, you know, they end up realizing that that's not a good strategy. He sparred with Pavlik. Definitely gave Pavlik a run for his money back then. And, you know, I mean, sparring isn't fighting, but you know, when he has fought, he's gotten the knockout really easily. So I'm super excited to see him. He's a good kid. Like, he's actually a nice person, too. And I know that David was trying to reach Jose Sr., too, to get him on the phone to talk as well. I don't know, David, if you want to...
I get the idea that no, in school, no one's trying to bully him.
Say that again?
I was saying, I'm guessing no one's trying to bully him in school, though, right?
No, no. He's doing the online school thing because he's training out the wild card. But, yeah, no, he's always been a bigger kid. So, you know, we're really proud of him, you know, because, like I said, when he, you know, he gets straight A's in school. He, you know, he trains really hard. He really loves boxing. Like, you know, some fighters really enjoy boxing as a sport. Some don't. He's one of the ones that does. He really watches all the fights. He studies tape. He, you know, he really is a fan of boxing as well. So he's going to do really well. I'm excited. You know, when I heard this, you know, Jose Sr. and I have trouble talking these days. So I heard it on the Ellie video I posted on Facebook last night. I'm super excited. Like, I'm getting my passport fixed so that I can go and so that I can go to Mexico and watch his debut, because that's going to be – he's going to be really somebody to contend with in whatever weight division he ends up.
Nice. Now, and also, we might have mentioned it on a couple shows ago when you found, you know, about the he inked a deal, right? A special, like a promotion, not a promotion, but a sponsorship, right?
Yeah, he did with Budomart and Adidas. So they're going to be, you know, official sponsors of his. He's sponsored also by Birdie's Car Wash here in Arizona. And Budomart and Adidas will be supplying him equipment. We put some pictures up. He has a Facebook page, David Benavides Boxer. We put all the pictures up there. And, you know, huge shout out to those guys at Budomart, because Charles Ingram there to work with, he's awesome. And he's just been really, really great. And to already have an endorsement deal at 15, it just really kind of blows everybody out of the water a little bit.
And that's one thing when you told me. I was just thinking, I can only imagine if I was 15, feeling those endorsements like that. That's got to be a great feeling to have. And so, yeah, I'm glad. That's why I wanted you to talk about that too, you know, and you know, let everyone know, because, you know, he is someone that people need to watch. Even, you know, both brothers, they're both guys people need to watch out for in boxing. They're the future. They are part of the future of boxing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But also in the news, also in the news, you know, Chris Arreola is going to be fighting Bermain Stiverne. Did you hear about that?
Who is he fighting?
Beware. Stiverne.
Oh, okay.
Bermain Stiverne. That's going to, I don't know if they have a date exactly yet, but that's also been out there. It's good to see Arreola back in action. What do you think about Arreola?
I like him as a person. He's hilarious. I love every post-fight interview he's ever done. I didn't like that he got fined by HBO for swearing, because that's just kind of who he is. I really didn't like when he came out and said something about, you know, the whatever the Mexican restaurant is there is right next to my place. It's hard to, you know, keep on my diet. Because I'm like, dude, come on. You're getting some huge opportunities here, and you're talking about you can't make your diet. But, yeah, I like him. I like him. I want to see him again. I don't think he's going to beat the Klitschko's. I know he's kind of looking for that again, but, you know, I enjoy watching him. Fun fighter.
Do you think he has a chance to be in one of the Klitschko's?
No.
You know, no shot at all?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he has the talent for it, to be honest with you. Like, you know, he's a brawler. He fights. You know, he puts his heart into it, but he—I don't think he has the talent to beat the Klitschko's now.
Yeah.
Do you think so?
No, but there's a lot of. I'd like to see him get one more shot, but I really don't think he can. You know, I think, you know, he has a decent chance to look okay if he can come in shape. You know, that's what if he comes in shape. You know, and he looks better whenever he's in shape. We've seen him out of shape, and he looks horrible. You know, I'm not saying he has a chance. I like to see him fight some of these other up-and-coming heavyweights, too, though. Is there anyone out there that you would like, other than the Klitschko's, you would like to see Arreola fight?
I would like to see him fight Seth Mitchell. I think that would be a good test for both of them. That would be a great fight.
Yeah, that definitely would be a great fight. What do you think? How about that? Since we're on the topic, and how about Seth Mitchell? What's your take on him?
I think he's got a lot of talent. I like him. He's a cool guy. You know, we've had him on another show that I'm on sometimes. I think he's got a fair amount of talent. He's got a good, you know, a good audience, what is it, like a fan base. I like him a lot. I think that he and Ariel would be a great fight.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that would definitely be a good fight. Who else is out there? Who else? What other prospects do you have you been having your eye on? And besides you know the Benavidez boys and everybody.
Yeah, Jaylen Love. He's one that I like. I like to watch. Prospects that I have my eye on. Honestly, and these aren't prospects, but Mike Alvarado. I like Rios. I like Alvarado. I think Alvarado is. You know, it's up there with, like, some prospects, too.
Alvarado?
Yeah.
What do you think about that card coming up?
That's going to be an awesome card. I'm, you know, pissed that I can't be there. Junior's on the card. That's just going to be a great card. I'm happy that, you know, I'll be able to watch it, but we have in Phoenix the Greek Festival that weekend, and my girls dance. And that was going to prevent me from being able to go. So I'm kind of disappointed about that. Got to be here with my family. But that card's going to be, I think, that fight. Although last time I said a fight was going to be fight of the year quality was Molina and DeMarco. So I don't want to, like, get ahead of myself. But Rios and Alvarado is going to be a war.
Definitely. I think we both could agree that we both said that. And it turned out to be... pretty quick, you know. Who do you like in that fight?
Honestly, I think
Alvarado fight.
I honestly think that Alvarado has a chance to beat Rios.
I agree.
I think Alvarado will take that fight. I saw him at, let's see, I think it was on the undercard of Pacquiao Marquez against, I want to say, Prescott. Is that we found on the card? Something like that.
Yeah.
And he looked really good. And I'm kind of behind him. I'm not. I like Rios a lot as a person. I like his publicist and I have gotten to know each other. She's great. I'm not sold on him yet. And I think that Alvarado makes a good case to win that fight.
I'm in agreement with you. I know that, sometimes we don't always agree. And this one, I think Alvarado wins. I really do. I think it's kind of weird to say this, but I really think he might be the better boxer. You know?
Did you
and
always agree? Don't you always
I'm
agree
sorry?
With me? That's right, so.
I don't know if you said something about you being right, because now I really think I'm losing my hearing if you're saying that. But anyways. I definitely like Alvarado in that fight. I think he can do the pressure, and then if he has to, he can, use the jab and box him. Who else besides Benavidez? That's also the same card as Donaire, correct?
That is the same card as Donaire. I don't actually know anything about Nicky Osha at all, so I can't even say what I think about that fight. I like Donaire. You know, I obviously he's a great fighter, so do a little research before I go predicting that one, but that's going to be a great card. Like I said, I'm really disappointed that I'm going to miss that card, and mostly for that, obviously, besides Junior's fight, I'm really disappointed I'm going to miss Rios and Alvarado. I don't know if they can watch it on TV, so.
Definitely. Now, another fight that I'm interested in, that's coming up very soon, is the guy who fought Alvarado, Mauricio Herrera is going to be fighting in this. I think it's going to be on Showbox or HBO. I'm trying to figure that out right now. I totally forgot which one it was, but he's fighting Kareem Mayfield. Kareem Mayfield, let's talk about him real quick. What do you think about him?
I don't know a ton about him. I know that, when I have read about him. I think we must have had him on the other show. The other show that I'm on sometimes is an East Coast show, and I feel like we've talked about him or had him on. I know that he's the favorite in that fight. Is that correct, Mayfield?
Yeah, I would say he's going to be the favorite, probably, yeah.
Okay. What do you,
that,
I mean, I know you're
like
a Herrera fan.
I think Herrera, I think it's going to be a hell of a fight. You know, Kareem made me eat my words last fight against Serrano, and I'm going to go against him one more time. I think Herrera reminds me, you know, Herrera's just a guy who can pull off any upset. He's a very game fighter. You know, he goes in there and he throws punches. He'll take some punishment, too. I mean, that fight with him and Alvarado, I don't know if you remember that fight, but that was a hell of a fight. You know, I think him and Maple are going to put on one great show as well for all the boxing fans out there. What do you think about Herrera?
I'm sorry, I'm trying to get Benavidez on the phone. Herrera, I don't know anything about him, to be honest with you. So I'm being straight with you right now. Sorry.
Right. Yeah, well, that's one fight that I'm looking forward to. So hopefully we get some good fights coming up. How about Abner Mattes? Another fighter that I'm up on. Do you think Abner and Donaire, if they were to fight, who would you like in that? Let's go there.
That's a tough one to call. I'm gonna go with Mattes. I really like him. I think he has a good range of skills. I think I'd have to go with Mattes on that.
All right. Well, we actually got a caller on the line, a special guest. Thanks to you, Emily. We got Jose Benavidez. So we're gonna bring on Jose on the line. Emily, go ahead and welcome Jose on.
Hi, Jose. Thanks for coming on the show on short notice. We spent a little time talking about Junior and David, and we're kind of hoping you can give us an update on his preparations. We were just talking about Donaire and how he's getting ready for that fight on the 13th.
Yeah, no, thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to be with you guys here. We're working really hard. Right now we're trying to get ready for October 13th, and everything's going well, thank God. We're really excited to be fighting on the card of Danita Donaire, and we're ready.
Jose, the Rios Alvarado fight, I was just saying that, you know, in addition to missing Junior's fight, I'm missing that one. That's an exciting fight. What do you think about that fight?
Well, I think that's going to be a good fight. I got to meet Brandon Rios. I think he's a cool guy. Alvarado, I've seen him a couple of times. We fought in a couple of the same cards. But that's going to be a really good fight because these guys are warriors. Both of them, I think, to me, they kind of have the same style. Nobody's going to back up, you know. So I think we're definitely going to see a knockout here. These guys are here for war, man.
Tell us, you know, you came out in the LA video and you talked about David and what's next for him. Can you share that with us? I kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier, how I'm going to get my passport ready, but tell us what's next for David.
Yeah, thank God, you know, we had the opportunity to sign with Adidas now, so we're really happy about that. we're getting ready because he's going to be debuting on maybe like in about 8-9 months now. You know, we already have a good plan to go to Mexico and try to go professional. That's what he wants, and, that's what we're going to do. I think we're going to fight over there because he can't fight here. He has to be 18. He's 15. He'll be 16 in December. So we'll start him over there.
And I was talking to Josh about earlier about how it's hard for us to find him fights when he fights. You know, when we've even tried to put him on big shows where, you know, the other person, both people will be getting a lot of attention and stuff, it's hard for us to get fights for him. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, it's because, you know, all the promotion I've been doing with him, I think, and, you know, he's been sparring with Katie Pavlik, Triple G, Latif Coyote, Kid Chocolate, and he's been sparring nothing but good people, so that's why people think that, you know, that's what I think, you know, that they don't want to find him because he has a lot of good sparring, I think. I don't know.
I think it's also kind of the depth of, you know, how many people are there that are available that are his age and weight. like, it's limited. You know, when I would call boxing clubs and say, do you have a 15-year-old that's 135 pounds? And they would laugh. No, we've got a 20-year-old, but not a 15-year-old.
Yeah, that probably might be it, you know, because the fight that he had, the last fight, you know, he stopped the guy in the first round. So, I mean, but people don't know, you know, that he takes this real serious and he's been training really hard. And he's sparring but nothing but the best, you know, so that's probably what it is. And the other thing that I really don't go to national tournaments and all that because it, to me it's just a waste of money because it, to go to a tournament you have to go like for 3-4 days, sometimes a week. And maybe you'll find, and he's really tall. He's like 6'2", and he's at 170. You'll probably find one person, two, because he's still novice, not considered open. Because open, you got to be 18 to fight everybody, like 25, 22, 20, 20, so whatever. So that makes it real difficult, you know, with the little kids under 18, you know, I think it's a little bit hard, you know, to keep up with them.
Now, Jose, you know, he just signed the Adidas contract and everything. Man, at 15 years old, is that put a lot of pressure, you know, for him to handle that? Or, you know, I mean, I know he has you and you know, his brother to, you know, help him out. But, you know, how much pressure is that on, and you know, for a 15-year-old?
You know, I don't think it's a lot of pressure. I mean, man, you know, he really loves what he does. I love what I do. And it's just, you know, David's been training since he was 2 years old. His first fight was at 3 years old. And now, you know, he's seen what his brother's done, and he wants to break that record, too. You know, he wants to do more than his brother. You know, he's always watching videos of boxing, and actually, you know, he wants to do more and more and more than his brother. And what I tell people, a lot of people don't know about David. You know, I think if you think Junior, I never think Junior is good. You know, I don't see that. You know, we just keep training, and we just train hard. But with David, man, he to me is like, wow, you know, this kid is like 2-3 times better than his brother, you know, at that age, you know. So I'm like, wow, you know, I'm blown away.
How competitive are they with each other?
What was that?
How competitive, you know, are they with each other? You know, as do they kind of use, you know, David sees his bigger brother doing good. You know, do they like talk like friendly, like brotherly wagers or anything? You know, like, oh, I'm gonna be better. You know, or my fight's gonna end quicker.
No. You know what? They motivate each other a lot. You know, they try to help each other. You know, but I was really surprised when I put David in spar. That was like with Junior. I said like about 6 months ago, 7 months ago. I was really surprised. You know, that Junior was telling me, oh well, you know. He got him frustrated, you know. He got him really frustrated. He said, well, you know, he weighs more than me, like about 30, 40 pounds more than me, you know. And I'm like, okay. I was thinking a little bit like, you know, it doesn't matter. You have a lot of experience, you know. But then, since then, I haven't put them spar together. But, you know, they have different styles, different mentalities, and different, man, they're totally different.
Jose, we were talking about earlier in the show kind of what prospects are out there to get excited about. What do you think? Who gets you excited in terms of prospects in the sport, obviously besides Junior?
What do you mean who gets excited? Like
who's out there in the sport right now that you think is going to be kind of like the next big star?
Right now, you know, to me, right now, you know, I like Adrian Broner, you know, really. I'm a little bit excited with Canelo Alvarez, but I don't know. Like I said, you know, with Charlo Jr., okay, if he beats Maravilla, you know, damn, I would really give him my respect. But, you know, that didn't happen, and I think he got beat really bad, you know, just one round, and everybody's making a big deal out of one round, you know. Well, wow, the guy got tired. He beat this guy the whole 11 rounds, you know. Come on, you know. Canelo Alvarez, you know, I still, you know, I still don't know if I would really consider him a good a good champion or whatever. But Adrian Broner, I really like this kid, man. You know, but still at the same time, you know, he has to fight somebody too. So for right now, it's really hard. It's really hard for me to see who's up there. Huh?
How do you feel about Pacquiao Marquez 4
You know what? You know, for me, I'm not interested about seeing that fight. You know, I don't know if it's going to be pay-per-view. I'm thinking so. I would not buy it. You know, and to be honest with me, with you, that fight, you know, I mean, it's not interesting. And I've been talking to a lot of people, and they feel the same way, you know. Mexicans, you know, I think still they're still going to support them a little bit, you know, but I don't think it's going to be a big, big card, I think. I think if Marquez fights somebody else, that would be good. If Pacquiao fights somebody else, that would be a good fight, but not against each other. That's what I think.
Okay. What did you think about, you know, you talked a little bit about it, Martinez and Chavez. What did you think about that fight?
Man, I think Chavez got school. I don't think he's at that level right now. And like, you know, Martinez was saying, you know, that belt just was handed to him. And I did believe that, you know, and like I said, you know, if Chavez would have done a little bit better, even closer or whatever, I would give my respect. But, you know, he just played with them the whole 11 rounds. I mean, just one round he got lucky, you know. And like I said, just because Sergio got a little bit tired and I think he got overconfident that, you know, he was beating them all the rounds and he stayed there and he got hit with one shot and they got all excited because of that, you know. But still, you know, he beat them the 11th round.
And you heard the news about Chavez's drug test. Do you think that's a big deal? I mean, obviously it's an advanced substance.
Yeah, I think it's a big deal because, you know, he's now represented by Nike also. I don't know how they're going to feel about that. You know, I'm pretty sure probably they'll probably take that contract away from him. I mean, he got a DUI, and then, you know, he's been tested positive on other things. I think it's going to affect him a lot. You know, I don't know how he's going to take all that now. And if I was him, I would never take a rematch with Maravilla, Sergio. Too soon, you know, I would definitely take another fight with somebody else, but from now on, you know, the public will want to see a good fight, you know?
Well, they're saying Martinez isn't going to be able to fight until, like, May, and so if they, you know, if they make a rematch, it's going to be almost a year after now, you know, you're looking quite a ways out, so, you know, who knows what will happen between now and then. One of the prospects I know, like one of the amateurs that I know you kind of kept your eye on was Errol Spence, and I just saw that he signed with Al Haymon. How do you think that's going to affect him going forward as a pro?
You know what? Yeah, you know, Roisin Warren, Errol Spence, and Jose, I forget his name, Jose from California. These guys, well, you know, Errol Spence, we had the opportunity to spar in Texas with them. At that time, we're like 140. He was like 160, one somewhere around there. He was real fast. And all these Olympian guys, you know, I mean, they're pretty fast. It's totally different when you go to professionals. We have to see, you know, how, you know, if they sit under punches or if they still have the speed. In professionals, the power counts a lot, you know. It's not how, you know, that you win. It's how you win, you know, in order to get better and better and better. We will have to see. I'll be, you know, as soon as I find out, you know, when they're going to fight, I want to see this fight, actually, because I really like these guys. But, you know, right now it's too early to say, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for calling in. We're so appreciative. We, you know, I just appreciate you calling in and always supporting me.
No, thank you guys.
Thank you.
To be with you guys. And I want to thank you for being a part of the Benavides team and for helping us. And, man, you do a great job, and we're blessed to have you.
Thank you. I'm happy to be there, obviously. So, thank you. All right. I think we're ready to move on to our next guest, right, Josh?
Yeah, I think so. I think we got William Shamal Witt, 2-0, out of Brooklyn, New York. Shamar, what's going on, bro?
Everything's good, man. Just happy to be on the show. How's everything?
Everything's going good. I'm here with my co-host, Emily. She's on Twitter, EmilyBoxing.K. Man, why don't you let everyone know a little bit about yourself? You know, you have a pretty extensive amateur career. Why don't you let people know about you?
I'm William Shamar Witt from Brooklyn, New York. Golden Gloves champion, Empire State Games, Long Island Championships, a whole bunch of stuff, amateur-wise. But I'm 2-0 as a professional. That's what counts the most. And I'm looking forward to just stay undefeated in my professional career. So that's pretty much it.
What's been your hardest transition from amateur to the pros and only, you know, your second fight?
It's actually been an easier transition for me. I always felt that my style was better suited for the pros than the amateurs. The amateurs basically judge on the amount of punches thrown. In the professional ranks, they judge on your effectiveness. And I always felt that I was able to pace myself the right way and land the right punches, you know. But in the amateurs, you don't get as much credit. In the professional ranks, you get that right credit, you know, and you have one more round. You have 3 more minutes, so you have a little bit more time to work when you first start out. So that's what I like. I like to be able to pace myself and break my opponent down. And as a pro, so far, it's been working out.
Right, man. And, you know, one thing, you know, since I've started following you and your career and everything, you know, you got a lot of good support team where professional boxers from, you know, Paulie Malignaggi and a bunch of other guys to, you know, you name them. You know a lot of people you train with a lot. Does that help you make your transition even easier?
Yeah, it helped me a lot. I've been boxing with those guys since I was an amateur. Paulie Malignaggi, Saddam Ali, all those guys, Gato Figueroa, Danny Jacobs. All the professional guys, when I was still an amateur, I was able to box with them, and they just boosted my level of confidence as to what I can do, you know, in the amateur ranks. And when I turned professional, they just gave me the extra level of confidence. I know if I can hang with them, I can hang with anyone. So, and they also just showed me the game a little bit more inside and outside of the ring, because there's more than just, you know, training is a big part of it when you're preparing for a fight, but there's a lot of mental, you know, there's a big mental aspect that goes into it. So they all helped me a lot with that. Joe Green, all those guys, you know, they helped me a lot. And that's why I feel like I'm in a great space right now, and I'm unstoppable.
That's right. You know, I know, you know, you're good friends. I'm assuming you're good friends with Marcus Brown, right?
Yeah, man, I love Marcus Brown. I call him my little big bro. He's a great guy. I'm very happy for his accomplishments, making the Olympic team and representing our country in the Olympics is just big. A kid from Staten Island to go that far and to do what he's done, you know, won the Golden Gloves numerous times. He's a great fighter, and I can't wait to watch him and be on the same card as him as a professional.
Now, that's what I was going to ask. How was it to see him, you know, the guy that you've known for a while and, you know, have amateur days with him? How was it seeing him in the Olympics? Was it kind of like surreal or what?
It was great. I always knew he was going to make it. Once he said the words that he wanted to be an Olympian, I knew he was going to do it. I seen him fight as a JO. I trained with Gary Stark Sr. He helped me out a lot, taught me some things. And Me and Marcus, we actually won our first pair of Golden Gloves together the same day, you know. So it was just great to see someone that I came up with through the amateur ranks to go to the Olympics. Even if he didn't get a medal or anything like that, it's just huge. There's not a lot of fighters, not many fighters, I can say that they represented their country, let alone their state, their borough, whatever. He's done something very big, and he deserves everything that he's getting right now. And everything that's going to come to him in the future. And I'm just going to sit back and cheer for him, pretty much.
All right. Hi. Now, oh, go ahead, Emily.
This is Emily. Hi, how are you? Thanks for coming on.
I'm okay. Thank you for having me.
First of all, I have to give you the shout out. Somebody asked me, Albert Alvarez, who lives here in Phoenix, said that to tell you what's up. And he said he's the very first person to give him love back in the day. So he said, you're really humble and nothing can rattle you. So that was from Albert Alvarez. He said, make sure I told you hello.
To Albert, I said, what's going on? And I haven't heard from him in a little while, but I know that Albert's definitely a great guy, and he's definitely been supporting me since day one, and I really appreciate it. And we're just going to keep climbing through the ranks, and I'm going to continue to make him proud and everyone that supports me proud.
What's next for you? When's your next fight? I saw you're 2-0. Do you have a promoter? Are you looking to get on the card in New York with Pauly? Like, what's next?
Getting on the card with Pauly would have been great in October. It doesn't look like we're going to be able to get on that card, but I'm definitely looking to fight one or two times before the end of the year to show people what I have, to show my talent, showcase my skills, and just make 2013 an even bigger year than we had this year. The main goal this year was to get my feet wet in the pro ranks, and I've done that. I shook off the ring rust and everything like that, and I just want to stay busy. Next year, the goal is to really fight once a month and to put my name out there even more.
That's great. And what team are you working with out there in New York?
I have Greg Arden, my promoter. Not my promoter, my trainer. He's been helping me with Felipe Gomez, who's a promoter and a matchmaker. And we all have been working together, getting me on the right cards with Star Boxing and Felipe Gomez, his own promotional cards. So that's what I'm looking to get back with before the end of the year, once or twice. And we're just going to keep moving forward from there. Whatever happens, I just want to fight. I just want to stay busy. And the ultimate goal is to become a world champion, and that's what we're going to do by any means necessary.
Now, Shamar, has it been hard to find opponents, just right now because of your amateur background? Has that been a problem because you have such an extensive background?
I mean, when you first turn pro, it's really hard to find opponents, especially when you've won a few things and people know who you are. So opponents pull out from time to time, but I try not to focus on the negative. I try to focus on the positive, and I just look forward to fighting again. I just make sure that I'm ready and make sure that when I go out there, I dominate and put in the good show for the fans, because that's what counts the most.
I'm not mistaken. You also have another job on the side as well, right? Not just boxing. I think you work somewhere else, right?
Say that again.
You also have another job other than boxing, right?
Yeah, regular job. I'm a personal banker, actually.
Now, is it difficult for you to work full time and find time to train for your fights?
Yeah, I've been doing it. Even before I turned professional, and it's worked out for me. The ultimate goal is to just focus on boxing when the time comes and not work anymore. I would love to just be able to be in the gym all day, every day. That's the ultimate goal, but you just have to take it one step at a time. So eventually we'll be there, and boxing will be my full-time job, and I can't wait for that to happen.
Nice. Now, speaking of, we mentioned it earlier, Pauly and the whole Barclay fight, cars and stuff. How big is that to the community of Brooklyn, with that fight, or not just that fight, just the card in general, opening up back in Brooklyn?
It's a great card. Just having the arena alone is great, but to have professional boxing there is huge. We have a lot of fighters come out of Brooklyn. Mike Tyson, a whole bunch of other guys. We have Paul, we have Zad Judah, we have myself, Danny Jacobs. There's a lot of guys that come from here and look to make it big. And before, we used to have to look to fighting in Las Vegas or fighting in Manhattan at Madison Square Garden. Now we can fight in our hometown of Brooklyn, and I think that's huge for us. And I think it gives our guys and the amateurs something bigger to look for, and I even think it gives the prospects coming up something big to look at. And I'm just proud of everybody on the card. Danny coming back from all the setbacks and adversity that he's been through. Paulie, same thing. Calazo coming back on that card. It's going to be a great night of boxing, and I think Barclays since is kind of is pretty much going to take over.
Nice, nice. Now, you know, who some of the styles that would you say do you kind of like look at other fighters that you really like to watch and try to, I don't want to imitate, but you know, kind of make your style a little bit towards them or what?
I watch everyone. I watch Floyd. I watch Chad Dawson, Andre Ward. I pretty much watch everyone, even the cards on the Telefutura channel and the Spanish cards. Even if I can't understand that, I watch everyone because everyone has something good to offer, and they have their flaws, they have their positives and their negatives, and I try to take a little bit from each fighter and add it to my game, you know. But at the end of the day, yeah. I'm William Shamar Witt, and I fight like myself. I don't try to imitate anyone. I just look at everyone and I study how they adapt to certain situations, you know, and I bring that to my own type of style.
Now, what has been your probably you say your proudest or your best moment in amateur before the pros? What was the best moment for you?
My best moment was definitely the Golden Glove Championships because that was something that I dedicated to my mother and my sister and something that I knew that I had to win. So that's my proudest moment. I didn't get into boxing really to win anything. I just did it to kind of do it. But once I started winning and seeing the people that come out to the fight, I decided to take it serious. And like I said, the Golden Gloves was something that I dedicated to my mother and my sister who I lost a few years back, and that's the proudest moment that I have so far in my boxing career.
Right, right, right. And when you won the Golden Gloves, I mean, what was the feeling like here? It was just all motivation because of, you know, what happened with your mom and sister? Was it just all motivation? You just knew you were going to win it?
I knew I was going to win it. It was a lot of motivation. I told, you know, the same day of the gloves, we weigh in earlier that morning and we get interviewed by the Daily News. And I told them that if the situations that I've been through in life wasn't going to stop me, then the guy that I was fighting that night wasn't going to stop me. You know, so I knew beforehand that I was going to win. I knew when I started I was going to win. And just having all my people there from Brooklyn, Long Island, Queens, everywhere, Manhattan, everywhere in the building, it was just extra motivation. And for those who was actually there who had the chance to see the fight, hearing the crowd scream Brooklyn just gave me a little bit more motivation. So there was no way I was going to lose that night. I don't care who I was fighting, I wasn't going to lose.
Nice, nice. Man, thanks for, you know, getting on the show. You tell, let everyone know where they can follow you at, man, your career, your Twitter, you know, you're on Instagram, Facebook. Let everyone know, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show. My Twitter is The Real Shamar, Shamar. Instagram is the same thing, and you can keep up with everything that I do through my Twitter and my Instagram. I post my fight dates, even pictures from training or sparring and stuff like that on there. And I'm looking to get back at least one time in November and again in December. And just doing 2013, we're just going to take over. And I'm going to be flooding your timeline, your Instagram, your Facebook, everything with fight dates, your boxing websites, everything with interviews. And 2013 is going to be William Shamar Witt takeover.
There you go, man. Hey, thanks for coming on the show, man. You're welcome anytime to give a call in, talk boxing, whatever, man.
Thank you. I talk to you soon. I definitely look forward to coming back on the show.
All right, definitely. Later, man. And there you go. That was William Shamar Witt, 2-0. Looking to continue his career. You know, this is what I like to see, get Crossley on and talk about and get people to know him. You can see even videos of his fights on YouTube. There's some footage in there, too, of sparring and stuff. So go check him out. He's a tough kid, man. Always good to see new blood in boxing. What do you think, Emily?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to checking him out, honestly. Like, he's obviously a well-spoken, humble guy, and I'm looking forward to seeing more from him.
Definitely, definitely.
And that was great. Two good interviews in a row with some good information, too. We didn't really get to recap anything with Jose Benavidez, but that was pretty nice interview. It's crazy about his boy. Like, we were talking about it, you know, him being that big at 15 years old. I mean, it's kind of scary to think about it because his body's not even fully matured yet. Imagine when he's, you know, 21, 22, how much taller he might be or bigger, you know?
Well, you know, I think Canelo went pro at 15 as well in Mexico. He's going to be 16, of course, when he goes pro, but you know, that's kind of what, you know, they start out their career there in Mexico because you can fight before you're 18 and build up that record.
How big does David, where does David usually fight at 175?
His last fight was like 180, but he was bigger then. Like, he was still in the process of losing weight. So, I don't know, his last, he was supposed to fight, like, in June. They couldn't find him an opponent, and then he was going to fight, I believe, at 175.
Oh, really? Wow. That's what I'm saying, though. Imagine later, how much taller do you think he's going to get?
I don't know. He's still growing. I mean, kids keep growing. He's, you know, he could be 6'4 or something by the time he's done.
Definitely, definitely true. But that's good. It was great information. And good, you know, shout out to Ben Vian Sr. and Shamar for calling in. It was a great talk. Let's go into some rants and raves. I know you got some stuff to talk about, so you go ahead and start it off.
Well, my first rave was about Errol Spence signing with Al Heyman. I think that's a good move for him. I think it's gonna be good. Also, my other rave. What's that?
What was it? Earl Spence signed with Al Heyman?
Yeah, he signed with Al Heyman this week, and that's good news for him. Obviously, it's going to help him get that exposure that he needs. You know, he automatically kind of step up in the ranks. You know, when you got Heyman in your corner. So yeah, I think Heyman's going to be a good thing for him. I have another rant, and that is me joining the Boxing Fix and leaveitintheringradio.com permanently. So I'm officially a member of the family, and I'm really excited about that. So that was a rave for me. Yay, me.
Yeah, you always got to bring it right back to you again. You see? I'm just saying. But yeah, definitely. And, you know, you've been great help on the show and everything, bringing you on last minute all the time. And then, now I got you watching fights and stuff. Anything bad about this weekend that you know, in the boxing world?
I don't want to see Roy Jones fight Kimbo Slice. I don't want to see Roy Jones fight anybody. I was watching him on Jim Lampley's show, and I was like, man, this guy's like such a good analyst. He brings so much to the table because he has the experience, and he's well-spoken, and he does a good job. Just stop fighting. Don't fight Kimbo Slice. Nobody needs to see that. You know, if you lose, it's going to tarnish your record. It's just not necessary. So,
wait. I haven't even heard about this. Can you tell me about this? I've never heard this.
Roy Jones apparently is signing to fight Kimbo Slice, and originally what I heard was it was going to be an exhibition fight, but now it's going to be not an exhibition fight. So I don't know. I don't think we need to see that.
I mean, honestly. Like, I warned everybody before the show, it's going to be a rough day, coming from Vegas and everything, but you just telling me about Kimbo Slice and Roy Jones just made me, like, sick to my stomach right now.
You know, I work with Latif Coyote. He was going to fight Roy Jones, and I was like, Roy, like, he's a legend. You don't want to see him do it. So Kimbo Slice, really? Like, I don't need to see that. On the same note, I don't really need to see Hatton come out of retirement, but if he's going to fight Cutsidis, that's probably a decent matchup for both of them. I mean, if you're going to do it, if you're going to come out of retirement, if you must, then I guess Cutsidis is an appropriate matchup because they were both fighting on, pay-per-view undercards around the same time, 5-6 years ago, and, I guess, okay, if you must. That's not an angry rant or a very upset rant. It's just a little rant.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around this whole concept that you just dropped on me, like, out of nowhere about this whole Kimbo and Jones. Like, I'm literally, like, have my hand on my head, like, what the hell did you interview? Are you kidding me? But, no, geez, wow.
Yeah, not necessary.
Yeah, please. You know what? You just made me have another rant, or add an extra rant for me. Real quick, you know, is that Roy Jones, great fighter, legendary fighter. Stop hurting your career like this, man. I mean, I don't think it's going to, I don't know how much damage this could do to someone's career because you didn't have such a legendary career, but it's also the point where it's kind of, it gets sad seeing that good guy that you once rooted for all the time take punishment, unnecessary punishment. And he's not the same guy. He's not even he's not even a shell and stuff. It's just, I don't know. But yeah. Real quick, Rave, I think we talked about earlier, great weekend. Great weekend following a great weekend, you know, from last week. And it's good to see boxing, you know. Man, I can't say this anymore. September has been a good month, a great month since August, you know, a boring month that we have. So there's a bunch of great stuff going on in boxing. I know we talked about him earlier, and he was on our show before. Jay Leon Love has a fight coming up again, I think. You know, everyone's, you know, staying busy. So that's a great thing. Anything else you got? Any other rants or raves?
Let me look at my list. No, I don't think so. I think that was mainly it, just the Roy Jones and Kimbo Slice deal. And he didn't mention it on the Fight Game when he came on. I really enjoyed it. Like, I already said it. I really enjoyed that show, The Fight Game. I'm going to watch that more often. But, yeah, no more rants or raves, necessarily.
I definitely would like to see that show more of a on more consistently.
Actually, you know where I caught it was on Sweet Boxing's page. So if you're looking for it and you need access to it, that's where it is.
You know, I actually had it on DVR. Actually, while we were doing the show, I wasn't listening, obviously, but I was watching it. But I like the show. I like the concept. I just want to see. I wish it was more of a consistent, because you never know when it's coming on. It's not a weekly show, you know.
Yeah. I want to give a shout out to Jose Gomez, who's my newest Facebook friend. He just friend requested me, and he had some input here on the best prospect in the sport. And he said, the best prospect in boxing right now, in my mind, is Demetrius Andrade. Nowadays, Olympic fighters take too long to develop. I remember how in the 80s and 90s, guys like Taylor Whitaker, Holyfield, and even Breland were champions within the first 2 years from turning pro. Carvajal Hall won silver in 88 and was a champ in 90. I don't know what the deal is with all these Olympians from 2008, 2004. Guys like Vonis, Russell Andrade, and so on, they need to step it up. So that was from him, and I appreciate you letting us know that. Next time you should call in and talk with us.
Definitely, definitely. And you know what? And you know, we're about to wrap up the show, but even if you wanted to call in, go ahead. We'll be on for a little bit more. 347-205-7598. But while you know, on that topic, you know, that's an interesting topic, and I agree. Guys like Demetrius Andrade, when Joel was always on the show, when we talked about what's his name, the Browns bomber, Deontay Wilder, you know, Deontay not so Wilder, I guess a lot of people say.
Don't even bring him into this.
I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. These guys, you know, are fighting. They're fighting a lot, but they're not fighting anybody. I mean, how much slower do you got to bring them up? Like, I know it's not always good to rush them, but man, like, dude, like I said earlier, did you know Demetrius Andrade was fighting this weekend?
No, I didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, I don't know. It just gets on my nerves to see them not fight, you know, anybody, you know, just nobody, especially after coming off a great knockout, I think, for Demetrius. You know, I want to see more of that, but against better competition. I think he's ready to step up. Would you agree?
Yeah, let's see Deontay Wilder against Chris Areola. Just kidding.
You know, yeah, I mean, if they put him against some decent opponents, then we'll start, you know, taking him seriously. But right now, I don't take him seriously at all. You know, there's a lot of other prospects in the heavyweight division that I'd rather see, you know, than him. I think Seth Mitchell, you know, Brian Jennings, you know, I think is even better than Wilder. I don't trust Wilder because he hasn't fought nobody. He's fights like guys with 4 wins and 38 losses, you know.
Yeah, well, that's...
would definitely like to see these guys start stepping up in competition. Again, given, you know, like, you know, Shamar said, this first year just to get his feet wet, you know, and then next year he wants more fights, you know. I like that. And then the year after that, he probably is going to want to step up in competition. These guys have been getting their feet wet for how many years now? You know?
Yeah, agreed.
But yeah, you know, that's my rant, I guess. That was a good little rant that got me started on. But definitely, we're going to end up wrapping the show up too, a little bit early today. Any last things, Emily, before we let everyone go? Emily? All right, well, I think I lost Emily there. Well, anyways, for Emily, I'll say for Emily and for everyone else, thank you for listening to the show from producer David Chang. We'll be back next week. We'll be back with some guests, special guests next week and more boxing talk. So for now, all you boxing addicts, wait for next week for the next episode of the Boxing Fix.